Most people think Stephen King writes horror novels only. They're wrong. One such example is his novella, The Breathing Method. It's about a club made of men who gather to tell eerie stories to one another. The motto on the fireplace mantle is, "It's the tale, not he who tells it." People are wrong about King being only a horror writer, but the motto Stephen King has above the mantle is also wrong. Modern technology has made us hearers of 10,000 times 10,000 tales. In The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains, the author says the internet has restored man to his aboriginal state. Primitive man lived in the jungle without a moment's peace. Every noise, every sound, every crack of limb or murmur of wind had to be paid attention to. It had to be interpreted. It could be danger, it could be opportunity, but it had to be attended to. Make no mistakes. Even if you have no computer, have no smartphone, know no more about texting than you do tweeting, you too are being called to listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You must watch the nightly news. You must read that daily paper. You must hear that radio newscast on the hour that claims to give you all the world's news in 2 minutes. It may be news about terrorism, the stock market, or the latest health report. No matter. You've got to pay attention to every tweet, every text, every news report, and when there's an interruption for a special news report, then you've got to find out even more, hear even more, decipher even more. Your very life depends on the tale being told in 10,000 times 10,000 different formats. And this brings us to the unhappy couple on the way to Emmaus. We know one of them is named Clopas. We know that they invite Jesus into their home. Though we paint them as two men, I like thinking of them as husband and wife. In any event, they have many tales swirling about their heads. It says when Jesus came upon them, he asked them what they have been literally casting back and forth. Can't you hear them doing that? The chief priest said that Jesus was a charlatan. Oh, and the Pharisees, they said he was possessed. The Roman governor kept saying Jesus was innocent. But then he sentenced him to crucifixion anyways. And what about that sign on his cross? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. For 3 days, this couple had been paying attention to the tales told. That's nothing. Some of you young people have been paying attention to all the tales told from the moment you could hear. NBC brought the Vietnam War into my living room once a night. CNN brought the first Gulf War minute by minute into my young family's home. And now the World Wide Web brings the world into your home instantly. And like the Emmaus disciples, all your paying attention to the tales does not bring peace. No, it brings distraction. It even brings discombobulation. Modern technology has increased the number, speed, intensity, and immediacy of the tales demanding your attention now and every minute thereafter. And modern religious belief tells you that all the tales of faith are equally valid. And this brings us not just back to primitive man in the forest, but to his religion. All the sounds in the forest didn't just mean something for primitive man's body, but for his soul. And the power of the witch doctor or the shaman was that he could tell you what they were saying. Otherwise, the sounds became a cacophony of whispering. And you got only confusing bits and pieces of what might be very, very important for your soul, your spirit, your eternal peace. Oh, the whispers and the whispering. They're in our modern life too. It's like in that TV series Lost. When something bad or dramatic was about to happen, the whispering started. 10,000 tongues were telling 10,000 tales, but everyone was a whisper. The people could hear the sounds of voices, but not quite make out what was being said. The whispering was somehow about them and somehow seemed against them. That's where modern religious spirituality has left us. What do the earthquakes around the world mean? What about the tornadoes that ravaged the U.S.? What about the sicknesses that ravaged my body, not to mention the swirling thoughts in my soul? What is God trying to tell me? Is God trying to tell me anything? All I get is whisper, whisper, whisper. But there are people in the field of religion, psychology, and science who claim to tell you what God is and isn't saying with these 10,000 whispering tongues. And that gives them the power of the witch doctor or the shaman of old. Let's not forget our traveling couple. They had heard whispers of angels, whispers of empty tombs, whispers of Jesus being alive. Whisper, whisper, whisper. But none of these tales helped their dashed hope. They began their conversation with Jesus saying, "But we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel." And what does the myriad of whispering voices that you desperately try to snatch meaning, substance, truth out of, what does all that do to your hope? Those in the know, those who claim that they know what the multitude of whispered tales actually mean, they seem so hopeful, don't they? As for us, well, we're left walking away from the church, just like the Emmaus couples were doing, hoping that away from the church, maybe the whispering will die down. Back to the tale and he who tells it. Jesus doesn't deal with the tales of the chief priests or the Romans. He does not deal with the whispers of angels, of an empty tomb, or of a risen Lord. Jesus deals with the one thing you have the least to do with. Every night, like robots, we turn on the news to hear the tales told there. Every day, like cyber machines, you check your email to hear the whispering going on there. Every hour, your phone goes off and you check that text for the whisper found there. But Scripture? But Holy Scripture? The words of eternal life? That's not for me. I know it's not for you by the handful in Bible class and by the fact that virtually every one of you knows right now more about the royal wedding or the death of Bin Laden than you do about the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the absolute worst among you are the ones who think you do know enough about such things as the person and work of Christ and feel immune or inoculated somehow against the tales told and whispered. You, my friends, are the witch doctors and shamans of today. Oh, not to others, but to yourself. Jesus goes where you don't go. He goes to Scripture, not the tales, not the whispers. He goes back to Moses and all the prophets, not to events. He doesn't do what I think makes the most sense to do. He doesn't say, "Hey guys, it's me." Remember the Easter text? Apart from the word, apart from hearing the word, believing the word, studying the word, a risen Jesus is not believed, not hoped in, not trusted for salvation. From the get-go, it was predicted, it was prophesied that the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer. The devil would bruise his heel, Scripture said. The shepherd would be struck. He would be numbered with transgressors. From the beginning, it was written that he would be betrayed. His old familiar friend would lift up his hand against him. From the beginning, it was recorded that he would be rejected. He would be a sign spoken against. And from the beginning, two other things were logged in God's holy word for the studying of 100 generations of believers. The Messiah would be innocent, and his father would be pleased to punish him. How foolish you are and so slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. That's what Jesus said to the Emmaus couple. But you can't be foolish or slow of heart to believe what you don't even know, can you? Paul says that whatsoever things were written in the past, the Old Testament, were written for us, that through the Holy Scripture we might have hope. It's with the sharp, double-edged sword of the Holy Writ that Jesus slices through the myriad of tales and whispers. The part that stunned the Emmaus disciples, the part that dashed their hope of being saved by Jesus, was the fact that he suffered so. But he had to do that to redeem them, to save you. Jesus could have entered into glory without the suffering, but it would have been entering in glory without you and me. And God's glory is to save sinners, real sinners, not pretend ones, not cosmetic ones, not fake sinners. Follow me. There's no glory in giving sight to a person who sees. There's no glory in making a hearing person hear. There's no glory in raising a living person. Likewise, there's no glory in saving the savable, forgiving the forgivable, or giving hope to the hopeful. In order to enter into the glory Jesus wanted, which was saving the unsavable, forgiving the unforgivable, and giving hope to the hopeless, he had to suffer, sigh, bleed, and die an innocent death for your guilty life. It is the scripture that tells you this, not the news, not the internet, not the tales of thousands or the whispering of millions. It is in scripture that you'll find God for Jesus' sake, declaring salvation to the damned Adam and Eve. It is in scripture that you'll find God for Jesus' sake putting away David's sin of adultery and murder so he could forgive him. It is in scripture that you'll find God for Jesus' sake giving hope in the face of horrible sins, a raging devil, and smirking death. What the scriptures say about your life and death, that's what matters. That's what counts. That is what is to be heard and believed. The tales told can be for you an amusement, like in the Stephen King story. And the whispers, well, the whispers can be ignored as no more worthwhile than gossip. But what about Stephen King being wrong? He was. It is untrue to say it's the tale, not he who tells it. It's both the tale and the one who tells it. Jesus is the Word of God, and he's the Word made flesh. He is both the tale and the one who tells it. And how you treat the one will be how you end up treating the other. You cannot value the Word of God less than you do the Word made flesh without one day undervaluing the latter two. You can't undervalue the scripture without one day undervaluing Jesus. You can't give heed to the one telling the tale while disregarding the tale he told. It was the opening of the scriptures that led to the Emmaus couple's eyes being open to who told the tale and the tale he told. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.